Okay, so ain kojin prusbul el alakarkas. You only write it prusbul if there is land, right? So Rav amar vushia karka mave viloga. So Rav says you need both the lender and the borrower to have land. Right? Why? So that if the borrower to sell his property, the lender could transfer more land and maintain the eligibility for prusbul. That's one possibility. The sefer truma quotes from Rishonim who say that you actually need a clause stating that the lender transfers some land to the judges. And the Beit Yosef says, according to this, the purpose of the lender owning land is in order to facilitate the transfer of his loans to the court. Right? The Kinyan Agav, right? So it's not just the loan, it's the transferring the loan to the Beit. One or the other. Ain lo karka, if the borrower doesn't have land, ulechayavin lo karka, but if the one lending him has land, kovzun lo prusbul, you write a prusbul, as we said earlier, and he bequeaths him land. Rebbe, ba bishim rav, nisha ain lo ela kelach echad b'toch sadeh. What if someone has a single stalk of cabbage in another person's field? And the land, right, kotvin lo prusbul. So even though he has no land, simple pshat here, it's chashiv karka, even doesn't have karka. Now the Bavli disagrees with this, right? The Rashi is a simple pshat that Yerushalmi is chashiv kakarka. The Bavli seems to hold that no, it's you need the land with the cabbage or something like that. Right, so that seems different unless you assume that Yerushalmi assumes that everyone has land, right? That when you have the piece of cabbage that you automatically own land with it. So Gemara says Vatani. Hashutvin va'risin va'aputrapin ein lam prusmo. But wait a second. The Braita says that if someone's a partner, a sharecropper, or a guardian, they have no prusbul, which implies, right, that you can't write a prusbul if you only manage property. But isn't that more significant than owning a single stock? So Amrin Taman Kol Gavagal Shel Shutavet Hu Bram Hacha Ushalo. He says no. The point is there that you don't own anything exclusively. You're a partner in everything. And it is a fascinating question in general in Shutafut, whether Shutafut is viewed as everyone owes 100% or it's 50-50, right? Does everyone own, right, 100% or, right, just two people own 100%? But he says here, you own it entirely. So, malet licht of apotropin al nechse yitomin. What's the law of, which we already said that if the apotropos, who takes care of the yitomim, takes care of the orphans, has land, so then you can use his land for a prusbul for them. But what about the other way around? Can he write on the basis of the property of the orphans? So nishmana min hada, let's prove it from the following. So husband can do it on the basis of his wife. Now husband, in this sense, should be like the guardian. He doesn't really own the property, but he has certain, you know, he can use it, right, whatever. Now this is talking about nechse mulug, right? Nechse mulug is what the part of the property of the husband that belongs to the wife, but the husband's allowed to use it. And what it, as it goes up and down, that's what she gets back, as opposed to tzon barzel, which as it comes into the marriage, it has to go out of the marriage. So the Gemara says, well, ma'o lechtov le'ishal nechse baila. So again, we said that a husband can use his wife's land for the purpose of prusbul, but can a wife use her husband's land? So nishma lada v'chein l'doma nechze apotrabin. He said, yeah, well, if we allow the apotrabas to use the property of the atomim, then we see that it goes in both directions. And therefore, right, basically what you need is some sort of affiliation with land, and that is sufficient. Kaveret hadvorim. The beehive. So we said, Rilazar said it's like land. Right, so that means that a prusbul can be written on it, and it's not susceptible in tumah. And if you take it off on Shabbat, you're chayev. And the Chum say no in all of those. So Rabbi Avo, Bishim Rishim and Lakish, Taimir Lazar. Why does Rabbi Lazar think that a beehive is considered land? Based on the pasuk in Shmuel, Vayavoam Eliyahar Vinei Alach Hatvash, that right, the story of when Shaul told his people to not, right, they were in the middle of war, and he told everyone to fast. and not eat until evening. And Yonatan hadn't heard about it, so he had honey. He stuck his staff into the honey, and we call it a ya'ar. So much, mamina. So amaravana churcha mapik dvash. Does a forest produce honey? Why would you call it a forest? What it must be is that it has the halachic status as a forest. V'ilu amar v'yit below dobiyar dvash yod. He said, okay, then he should have quoted that part of the pasuk, right? But he quoted the wrong part of the pasuk for that. It should have been the one that says v'yit below dobiyar dvash. Sorry, it's not a question. It just said that would have been better. That would have been clearer. Namely, that the dvash can be considered a yar. But the svara is the same. That it has the status, according to him, as land. No, it's not the written, not relevant part of the pasuk. It's just a slightly less clear part of the same parsha. Right, the earlier pasuk is Vayavam el hayar vine helech hadvash. The second one is clearer, is yarat hadvash. Learning from this, in fact, vayit pohoda biyarat ha-dvash. So manan kayamin, what are we talking about? If it's attached to the ground, so then, well, everyone agrees, it's attached to the ground. And if it's on two sticks in the air, it's hanging in the air. So it's not going. When is the machlok? It's resting on the land, but not attached to it. Lazar says it's still considered attached. And the Chum say in this case, it is not. Now the Rav Matz has a different understanding of this. And basically saying the Chumim also agree with the Drasha. Meaning they're not just arguing whether it's considered attached to the ground, they're arguing what type of dvash could be like a yar. Right now, if that's the case, this wouldn't be a general machloket. It would just be a local machloket here. This wouldn't be part of the broader machloket of Talos Rosif, of Chibro, and things like that. Right, and on other places of where things are attached to the ground and the like.
Mr. Fowdy, if the beehive is in the tree, everyone agrees it's not attached, or?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right, this is attached to the ground. V'ata, k'devar revizirvish, and revirmi, akotim prozumal makomo shel tanur. Now, you can write a prozumal based on the place of an oven, makomo shel kira, and a rectangular oven. Not the oven itself, but the land of the oven. Even on the place of a lamp, where that's considered real property, that's fine. And also, in terms of removing bread from an oven on Shabbat, would there be the same machloket? Meaning, if you have an oven on the ground without being attached, would Relazer hold that removing the bread would be like removing something that's attached to the ground? So the Gemara says no. Dvash gedule kaveret. Removing honey, that's actually the natural product of the beehive. So therefore, we can talk about it being kotzer. But pat ain't a gedule tanur. Bread is not the product of the oven, and therefore, it's not going to be kotzer. It might be the iser derabanan or diat apat of taking bread off the oven, but it's not kotzer. Okay. Hamachzer chov b'shviat omer lo mishamanini. So the Mishnah, as we had seen, it said that if, when you repay a debt, you're allowed to repay it, and you say, but you first you say, I forgive the debt, and then if he wants to pay it back, he can. So Huna Amar Bisafa Rafa. What the lender should do is in a low tone say, I forgive the debt. Vayamin Pshuta Lekabel, and he can even stick out his hand right to take it. Now this is just a fascinating notion because what it's telling you is that right that Shemitah doesn't actually tell you that you can't. Sorry, that you can't, collect the loan. What he's saying, you can collect it. It's just that you and he need to recognize that it's, it's not really an obligation or something like that. But, You know, but it's right. But it's not that we actually insist on you wiping away the loan, right? It's just that you have to acknowledge that, you know, that I don't know, that God is in control or something like that. yeah, just one second. Right, so I'd already mentioned in the past, right, that the way the Urayim reads this sugya is that the loan is actually not wiped away unless you verbalize it. But not everybody agrees with that, right? The Mordechai famously does not agree with that, and Rov Rishonim don't. And then, as I already said, the question is, okay, and when you do take it, is it that you're allowed to be gove chovo, or is that you're allowed to take it as a present? So Yerushalmi, as we saw, makes it sound like you're taking it, you're actually being paid back. It's just a voluntary paying back. Whereas the Bavli seems to say it's more of a matana, though if you look at like the Tosfot Rid, in Gittin Lama Zayin, he says, v'achre kein mutar ligbot chovo. Right? It's almost as if the mitzvah is just to say, you don't have to pay it back. But once you do that, you're paying it back as a loan. Whereas you look at the Ramban, he says, no, you're not paying back a loan. It's a matana, right? Is it ethical, right? Once we say that you pay it back, is it an ethical paying back, right? Or is it a, you know, non-obligatory legal paying back? The Meiri seems to have a middle position, right? Which is... it's misad ha-mitzvah mishamet, shemitzvah ha-shmata im amamalva el shalom yochel ufroa im yirtzeh. It's like an optional paying back, and it's ke'in matana. It's like a gift. And the Alei Tamar comes to our line here in the Yerushalmi. What does it mean the Yamin can you know, accept it? Right? So what does that sound like? So he says, near the fact Shomer Lomishaman and Omer Bisafa Rafa, Le Ramesh Iker, Shoshming Samuel Takonet Bali Chovanim, Avam Yechotulach, Ruach Chomim Nochimin. So one possibility is to say that we wipe away the loan to help the poor, but really you still own it. So as long as you forgive the loan, then you can actually collect it as long as he does it willingly. Right? The other possibility is that you actually do Bavat. Right? But he says that. But he brings two deot, whether it has to be in two stages or even bevad achad, right? And that might point to the direction of whether it's, you know, paying back a loan, or not, right? Is this, or as Rav Shimon Shkop puts it, are you paying it back by Torah HaMishpatim or not, right? Is it a legal, a legal paying back? or not. Okay. Fine. So with that, let's continue. Kayote Barotech, the same thing should be said by the murderer, that he has to, you know, tell them, you don't have to honor me. You shouldn't honor me, but if they say anyways, then he can. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Had Amar, this teaches you that Barnash Titani Chada Mechla, that a person is proficient in one Mesechet, who Azal Atar Vinin Mokran Lobigun Tarte, and they go to a place where they honor for ring two, Tsarach Mimarlan Ana Chada Mechla Ana Chacham. He's supposed to tell them, I'm not that smart, right? I don't know everything. Okay. And then the next Mishnah is, right, is the continuation of what we said, right? Is this an ethical... Right, that we hamachzer chov b'shvita, someone who repays his debt after shmita, ruach chom nochem, and the sages are happy with you. Which again, does that point to the fact that this is the ethical thing to do, or is it that the loan, is not really fully wiped away? It exists in potential, just you're not allowed to collect it or something like that. Now, how strong is this? So that's a good question, right? Is it that it's good if you do it, but if you don't, they're not angry at you? Or no, it's if you give it back, we're happy with you. And if you take advantage of Shemitah, we're not happy with you. Halova min a gershon garnabon of imo, if you borrow from a convert whose son's converted with him and the convert dies, So lo yachzer levanav, you don't give it to his children because and therefore he's not related to the people who converted with him. But if you give it to them, right, the rabbis are happy with you. Right, because you don't want people to regret converting just because, well, now, oh, I'm not formally related to my father, so I lose out on the money. And a third case is called metal nikna mashicha. All movable property can be acquired by mashicha. They call mekayim dvaro, but even if you haven't done a kinyan, but you keep your deal, ruach chachamim nocheimenu. The chachamim are happy with you. We'll pick up the top of the Zion, and tomorrow is the last daf in the Masechet.